cross, preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of his name.
Well, good to be back again tonight in the Lord's house. Amen. Appreciate all of you coming. A lot of times I hesitate to announce if I already know what I'm going to preach on Sunday night, because if they don't like the title, sometimes they won't come back. Amen. And I appreciate all of you knowing what was going to deal with, and yet you still came. And I appreciate that very, very much. If you will, take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3, and we're going to read two verses of scripture found in Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 9 and verse number 10. The Bible says in verse 9, honor the Lord with thine substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Father, we thank you again tonight for the wonderful privilege of being back in your house. I thank you, dear Lord, for what you said to our hearts this morning, and I anticipate and look forward to what you'll say to us tonight through your precious and wonderful word. I ask you, Lord, tonight to help us to receive what you will give to us tonight, and whatever's done, we'll give you the praise and give you the glory for it. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. I want to continue tonight on the thought of our giving and our stewardship unto the Lord. And of course, I know that stewardship reaches out more than just in the area of our money. He said, honor him with all thy substance. And so it's not just a money issue, but it is something that we are to honor the Lord with, and that's all of our substance. I remember being in a conference, or I can't remember the exact setting, but there was a preacher that was preaching to the rest of us preachers. And he said that one thing that you do not need to do, you should not ever mention money. And I thought that was strange when he said that, but I was a young preacher, so I began to look at the Word and see what the Word of God had to say, and I found out something that I did not know, and that is that, in one third of all of the parables that the Lord himself spoke, it involved money. And he spoke about money in one third of all of the parables that our Lord spoke in. And so if God speaks of it that many times, then certainly it's of importance that we learn what he said when he was speaking of money. Now, a little bit later in the message, we'll look at one or two of the things that the Lord had to say about our giving and about our stewardship. There's a lot of questions that people often ask regarding our stewardship. I'm going to just share with you one or two of these to just sort of let you know how some people feel about their giving. Here's a question that I have asked me quite often is how can we afford to give a tenth of our income? I hear that real often. How can we afford to give? Now, my response is if you will do a careful study of the Word of God, that question will change, and the question will be, how can I afford not to give my tithe to the Lord? That'll be the question. And then another question that's often asked is how much should we give? And and by that they're asking, should I tithe off of the gross income, or should I tithe off of what I bring home? Just let me say this, and I think it'll answer that question. God doesn't owe taxes. You do. Amen? And let me say this. God doesn't need insurance. We do. Amen? And so a lot of people will look at their paycheck and they'll tithe off of what they bring home. But did you notice in our text that he said, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase? Other words, it's not after everything is paid and the bills are paid and all of these things, then we give a tenth. No, we give a tenth off of all of our substance, and we are to give a tenth off of the gross and not the take-home pay. Amen? Now, I know there's a lot of people that disagree with that, and they have the right to be wrong if they want to be, but I'm just telling you tonight, you will not. You know, when a person asks me that, what comes to my mind is they don't want to give one dime more than they have to. Amen? When that becomes your major question, should I give off of the hold or off of the what's left after I take care of everything, you're saying to the Lord, now, Lord, I love you, but I don't want to give you any more than I just have to. You know, I have some time, I'll have a preacher that'll ask me, Brother Harvey, what would we have to give you to get you to come and preach a revival? And that bothers me. In my mind, I think, now he's asking me, and he don't want to give any more than he absolutely has to. Amen? And here's my response to them. Brother, if God is burdening your heart to have me come, I'll come for whatever's received, or I'll come for nothing if the church cannot afford to have me to come, cannot pay me. Amen? And I mean that. I'd call Brother Wade and if I needed to and say, Brother Wade, this church has asked me to come for nothing, and I feel like I need to go. Help me out a little bit. Amen? Now, I know that'd probably be in vain as far as talking to Brother Wade about it, but no, I'm kidding. But yeah, I would. I'd do something, whatever I had to do. But when we ask that question, how much should I give? Well, God said in this morning's text, you have robbed me, what? In tithes and offerings. So there's offerings that come in above the tithe. Amen? Now, and God says in the New Testament that we're to give according as God has prospered us. Amen? And so that's the way we are to give. But here in our text, that's a question that many people will ask. Now, I believe there are four questions that we ought to ask when we are thinking about and settling the issue of our stewardship. And I'm going to give all four of them to you, and then I'll say something about each one of them. The first one is, what is the purpose of my stewardship? What's the purpose of my stewardship? Secondly, what is the product of my stewardship? Thirdly, what is the priority of my stewardship? And fourthly, what is the promise of my stewardship? Amen. Those four questions we ought to ask and settle in our heart when it comes to the area of our stewardship unto the Lord. Now let's look at those. What is the purpose of my stewardship? Go back and look in verse 9. And in verse number 9, the very first phrase, he says, honor the Lord with thy substance. So the purpose in my stewardship, in my giving, is not so that the preacher won't fuss at me, or not that somebody would think less or more of me according to the way that I give, but the purpose in our stewardship is to honor the Lord. That's what he said, honor the Lord with thy substance. So we are to honor the Lord. Now, I have just observed, and I wrote down some of these that I have experienced and noticed. Some people are motivated in their giving by guilt. Amen? They feel guilty if they don't give. Or their pastor or an evangelist comes and preaches on a message like this, and for a while, a week, 2 weeks, a month or so, they'll give out of guilt. That's the wrong motivation. And then some, I have noticed, are grudge givers. You say, what do you mean by that? Here's what those that are give out of guilty, they say, that they ought to give. Amen? They feel like they just ought to give. And then those that are grudge givers think they have to give. Every once in a while, I get amazed. You take up an offering, and I know sometimes it's just they're doing it, they don't have, but they'll take, just say, a $20 bill, and they'll fold that in 15 different ways and then put it in the offering plate. It's like, I don't want to give this, but I've got to give it. I feel like I have to. Well, see, grudge giving, just doing it because you have to, I tell you, it don't mean anything to the Lord when that's the way it's given. Amen? It would be just like the offering that you took up tonight. If Brother Wade, when he presented that to me, said, Brother Harvey, I'm going to give you this, but I want you to know my people and the church are doing this because we have to, I'd probably just give it back to him. No, don't you try that. Don't you try. I knew what was running through his mind right there. But that's the way some people are motivated by the grudge giver. And then I think about there's the grace givers. And the guilt giver gives because they ought to. And the grudge giver gives because they have to. But the grace giver gives out of a heart of gratitude and love. Amen? And that's the giver that God is pleased with. And so those different givers, the word honor here, the purpose in our giving honor, it means to weigh down or to crown him or to give him his rightful place in our life. Amen? You see, when you give your tithes unto the Lord, and we'll look at that verse maybe If we don't look at it, it's in Hebrews chapter number 8. And it says about Melchizedek, that or chapter 7 maybe, that he gave, or Abraham gave his tithes unto Melchizedek. But he says, we give our tithes because as a witness that our Savior lives. Amen. Do you realize that every time you give your tithe unto the Lord, it's a witness to the world that you believe that your Savior is alive. Amen. That he lives. Because when in the Old Testament, when the priest died, they stopped giving tithe to him. And so if we don't tithe today, we're saying to the world and to our brothers and sisters that we don't believe that Jesus is alive. But if we'll give, it's a witness that he lives. That's one of the greatest ways you can testify to the truth that God or that Jesus is alive. Amen. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing when we look at that. And so honor, giving him his rightful place in our life. If you will, turn with me over to John's Gospel, John chapter number 12, and we're going to look at a God-honoring offering. How would we do that? What is a God-honoring offering? Now, we're told to honor the Lord. Well, how do we do that? Well, when you come to chapter number 12, what you're going to find out here is that this is right after the resurrection of Lazarus in chapter 11. And they are gathered together and they had made a supper for him in verse number 2. And Martha served. And then in verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So in this part, we see that a God offering honor is precious. Amen. See, it wasn't that she was giving him something that was left over. She was giving him something that was precious. It said that this ointment was very costly. In other words, it wasn't just something that didn't mean anything to her, that had no place in her life. Many believe that this ointment could have been Mary's all that she had, and she poured it out on the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, this Mary is mentioned three times in the Bible, and all three times she's at the feet of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? That she, every time she's mentioned, she's at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we give a God-honoring offering, it's something that is precious to us. Now, I'll just tell you, I'll plead guilty to this. A lot of times, it's not as bad now because so many people don't wear ties anymore. But I used to get ties. And I'd get four, five, or six every Christmas. Some of them was wide as a boat paddle. Some of them was like a shoestring when I put it on, about wide as two of my fingers and everything. And what I would do, I'd hang them back in the closet. And when maybe I was going somewhere and it was I needed to carry a gift and I didn't have time, I'd get one of those ties. I had never wore it. I'd get one of those ties and give that. Now, I'm going to let you get up here and confess your sin here in a little bit. But that's what I've done. I have done that a time or two. Well, see, that really wasn't a God-honoring offering. Amen. I mean, I was just giving something that I didn't want and wasn't going to use anyway. And so a lot of times, you ever noticed that when somebody will buy a new table real pretty, they'll bring the old one down and give it to the church? Amen? They will. Maybe they get a new chair or something, and they'll bring their old chair down to the church, say, this would look good here. Why don't you bring the new one? We're having a time tonight. Hey, I'm just telling you, that's the way. But a God-honoring offering is precious. Look at the next thing about a God-offering honor. Not only is it precious, but in verse number 3, also, it's pleasant. It's pleasant to others. Look at what it said there in verse 3. It says, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. In other words, Mary gave it, and it was precious to her, but it was pleasant to others. The odor of that filled the whole house. In other words, everybody that was there got to enjoy the sacrifice that Mary had given. And so when we give a God-honoring offering, it will be pleasant to others. I remember one time at Wheeler Grove, there was a man in our church, and I'll not call his name or anything, but he had sold his half of a business. And his half of the business was worth $500,000, $500,000. Well, Sunday when we got to church and to tuck up the offering, I noticed that one of the men that took up the offering came out and said something to Brother Cairo and whispered something in Brother Cairo's ear. Well, man, Brother Cairo, he went smiling. If he wore lipstick, he'd have got lipstick on both ears. He was smiling so big. And then he got up, and he didn't say a word about who it was, but he just announced, he said, folks, our offering this morning was $73,000-something. Now I'm going to tell you, that man gave, but it was a sweet smelling savor in all of our lives. Amen. It was pleasant to everybody there because he had given a God-honoring offering. Now look at the next thing here. Not only is it precious to us and pleasant to others, but it's perplexing to some. In verse 4, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, had said this, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. In other words, he was the treasurer, and he toted the money bag. And he just didn't like, he didn't like that being poured out on Jesus' feet. He did. He said, we ought to have took that and we ought to have done something with it and fed the poor. And see, really, the Bible says that he didn't really care for the poor. It was himself that he was thinking about. And a God offering honor is perplexing to some people. I'll tell you, I wouldn't have given that. He didn't have to give that much. And then sometimes they'll say, oh, he just gave that trying to impress everybody. I've heard all sort of stuff. But a God offering honor, it is perplexing to some folks. Amen. I got a God offering, a God honoring offering at the First Baptist Church of Steelwell, and it was in December. I'll be going out there next week and preaching. But I went home on Monday. Dean and I went home on Monday, and the lady at that time was secretary was Miss Barbara. She called me on Monday and said, Brother Harvey, I just wanted to tell you that I'm sending you another offering that was found in the church this morning. and said, I'm just going to leave it in the envelope and send the whole thing. Well, she sent me that offering envelope, and it had one penny in it. But it was a little Indian girl that they picked up on the bus. And on that envelope, she had written down, it's where it says amount, she put one penny. And then she said, Brother Harvey, I love you. And she had turned the envelope over on the back. And she said, Brother Harvey, I wish this had been more. But this was all that I had. I've still got that. And every once in a while, when the devil wants to jump on me about something and drag me down, I'll get that envelope out. And I'll remember that little girl gave everything she had. That's a God-honoring offering. Now, a lot of people, if someone gave all they had, they'd say, that don't make sense. But it does. And if the Lord has told you to do that, then let me say that it is pleasing to Christ. Look at verse number 7 and 8. It says, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this. And the poor always ye have with you, but me you have not always. So that offering perplexed Judas, but it pleased the Lord. Amen. And I will tell you, God offering honor will always do those four things. It'll be precious to you. It'll be pleasant to others. It'll be perplexing to some, but it'll always be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was, what's the purpose in our giving? Now, let's go to the second question. What is the product of my stewardship? What should be the product of my stewardship? Well, look back at verse number 9 over in Proverbs chapter 3. Verse number 9, he says, honor the Lord with thy substance. Now, look at this. He says, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That's the product of our stewardship. You see, he said, honor the Lord with all of thy substance. Now, when we think about our substance, see, I told you, this involves more than just money. The things that we have. I believe that that includes our time. Amen? What time we have, we ought to honor the Lord with that. Not take all of our time and do what we want to do or do things that we even like to do, but we ought to give of our time, and that belongs to the Lord. Honor the Lord with our time. And then not only our time, but our talent. Whatever we have the talent and ability to do, we ought to honor God with that. Amen? Right. Not just money, but our talent. You know, there's a lot of people. At the last church that I pastored, there was a lady in that church that was a good teacher. But I could not get her to teach. She came to church very faithful. She was a precious lady. She'd do things for you. She'd come every once in a while to the house, and she'd get all of my shirts and everything. She'd wash them and starch them and iron them, bring them back to me. And she was a but she would not teach. I don't know all of the reason, but she just said, Brother Harvey, there's some things in my life that happened years and years ago, and I just don't feel worthy to teach. See, she was robbing God of the ability that he had given her, and she would not use her talent for the Lord. She not only robbed God, but she hurt the church. Amen? She robbed herself of a lot of blessings. And she hindered the work of the church, because there was somebody else that taught the class, but it was not her. And that other person could have been doing some other things. You see what I'm trying to say tonight? God wants us to honor Him with all of our substance and with the first fruits of all of our increase. Amen? All of our increase. And so that is the product of our stewardship. Now, let me give you this. Three ways we honor God with our possessions. First of all, we honor God with how we get it. Amen? How we get it. You see, sometimes we may get money and we've not been 100% honest and up front and straight. Or we take advantage of someone. See, God is just as interested in how you get what you have as He is in what you have. There's absolutely nothing wrong with being extremely wealthy. Amen? Abraham was a wealthy man. Job, the Bible said, was the greatest man in the East. And yet, the Bible also says that he feared God and he eschewed evil. Nothing wrong with being wealthy if you get it the right way. But now, if you get it like Donald Trump, you got problems. You said, I don't get political. I'm not getting political. I'm just using him on about his money. You know, he's filed bankruptcy about four times to keep from losing things. And he takes the law and makes it work for him in every possible way that he can. He bends it and turns it. Hey, God is not honored in that. Same way with us. If we do that, God is not honored unless we are getting it the right way. Then not only how we get it, but how we guard it. I'm not going to turn and read the verses, but in Matthew chapter number 6, verses 19 through 21, he talks about the guarding and well, let me turn over there and read it right quick. It won't take but just a moment. In Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 19, Matthew 6 and verse number 19, here's what the Bible says. He said, now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples came unto him and said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. You see, what he is saying there is how that we guard our possessions and the things that we have. That man was going to waste an opportunity to follow the Lord to go bury the dead. Amen? But Jesus told him, said, you follow me and let the dead bury the dead. And there's a whole lot that we could go into about that. But then, not only how we get it, how we guard it, but how we give it. Do you realize tonight that the Lord is just as interested in the way we give as He is in what we give? Amen? The attitude that we have in our giving. I'm not going to turn to this place, but in Mark chapter 12 and verse number 41, the Bible said, And Jesus set over against the treasury and beheld, now look at this next word, how the people cast money into the treasury. Not what they put in there, but how they put their money in the treasury. Did they do it out of a heart of love and appreciation for what he had done for them? He was looking at how they gave it. That when I read that and got a hold of that, that just amazed. Not what they put in, but how they were putting it in. You see, that's a God-honoring offering is how we get it and how we guard it and how we give it. And then we have honored the Lord. Look at the third point tonight. Not only what is our purpose in giving to honor the Lord, what is our product, all of our increase, and then what is the priority of my stewardship? Back in our verse, he used this word. He said, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. With the first fruits of all of thine increase. You see, tithing is just the floor, foundation for our giving, not the ceiling. Amen? Tithing is where we start with God, not all that we do for God. If we, God has prospered us and has blessed us, God may want us to give more than a tenth. God may want us to give 20%. I've got a friend of mine in Tupelo, Mississippi. He is retired now, but when he first started this back several, 25, 30 years ago, his goal was to give God the 90 and him keep the 10. Now, I don't know how far along he got with that, but I do know at one time his pastor said that they were giving somewhere around 60% of their income to the church and to the Lord. You see, it's not the ceiling, but it's the foundation. It's the floor. That's where we give our tithes in obedience to the Lord. Amen. We give an offering and above that because we love him. And we care for him. We love the church. We love the lost people. We love to help others and to help missionaries. We're doing that because we love the work of the Lord. And so we give our increase. Now I'm going to read that verse in Hebrews chapter number 7. I thought it was chapter 7, but I was not sure. Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 8. I want you to listen to this. Hebrews 7 and verse number 8. And here, men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Here men receive tithes, but there the Lord receives those tithes, and it is a witness that he ever liveth. Well, I want to tell you, if there was no other reason to tithe, that ought to be reason enough. Amen? That ought to be reason enough because it's a witness that he lives. Now, let me close tonight with what is the promise of my stewardship. What's the promise of my stewardship? Verse number 10. Here's what it says. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That's the promise in the giving. See, our giving, the emphasis is not on our giving, but on our receiving. Amen. The emphasis shouldn't be on our giving, and that's where we put it, but it ought to be on our receiving. The Lord said, if you will give the first fruits of all thine increase, and you will honor me with your substance, then your barns will be filled. Amen. He said, filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. The emphasis in giving is always on what we're going to receive, not what we have to give. In Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 38, he says, give, and men shall give into thy bosom. And then he says, pressed down, running over, shall men give into thy bosom. Folks, it is amazing to me how that the Lord has proven that in my own life over and over and over. I could take 2 or 3 hours and just skim the surface of how that's worked in my own life. I can remember one specific time. I had preached a revival, and my daughter was coming to the house, and my daughter goes to the same church that I'm a member of. And by the way, a lot of people see me not putting anything in the offering plate. They say, well, I don't guess he believes in giving. No, the tithes belong to the church where you belong. Amen. Now, if I want to give an offering, that's one thing. But my tithe goes to my local church where I'm a member. I support my pastor and my church. And I've told preachers, you feel free to call my pastor and ask him anything you want to ask him about my giving. I'm not ashamed. I'm not bragging, but I'm not ashamed of what I give to my church. It's amazing. And so we owed, I don't remember what, I'm not going to bore you with all of that. But anyway, if we gave Tina our tithes to carry back to Wheeler Grove, we was not going to be able to pay, I think it was our either car or house insurance. So Dean said, Harvey, you think maybe we could just give part of it? I said, no, that's not what the word teaches. I said, Mother, just write the check out for what the tithes are supposed to be, and we're going to pay our tithes. So about 2 o'clock that afternoon, Tina and them had left, and Dean went to the mailbox, and I was working in some flower beds there, down on my knees, pulling out grass or doing something, fertilizing or whatever I was doing. And Dean came back across the yard. She was holding up an envelope, and she was waving it, and she was saying something to me, and I couldn't hear her. And when she got on up close enough, she said, Harvey, you're not going to believe. She said, our insurance and what we need, baby, was to pay both of our house and our car. It was $1,200. And Brother Wade, that check was for $1,230. Dean had wrote the tithe check and our offering out for $1,200. Now that wasn't for 1 week. I hope you know. Evangelism, if it was like that, every preacher in the country would be in evangelism. Amen. But I'm just saying, that's what our check was. God, you see, I'm just telling you that if you will be faithful to God, God will bless you in ways that you never thought possible. Now, I want to show you something else here about this, and I'll be through. In verse 10, where he says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Now, that little phrase there, be filled, it is in the imperfect tense. Now, I'm not trying to show my intent. I just looked that up. Amen. I don't know all of that. I just looked that up. But it's in the imperfect tense. And what that means is that it's an ongoing process. Your barns will not just be filled one time, but they'll be filled and filled and filled and filled and filled if you're faithful in your stewardship and in your giving. I hope and pray that a seed has been planted in our hearts that today that we understand more about giving. And that we'll not just ask these four questions to get an answer, but we'll settle these four questions in order to do what God has told us to do. See, just knowing this is not going to help you. But when you put it into practice, that's when you'll be blessed. And you'll be helped and encouraged in ways beyond your belief. Father, I thank you today for the good word of God. I thank you, dear Lord, for speaking to our hearts about the messages. And I thank you, dear Lord, for helping me to preach the messages. And I pray that we will be challenged by these truths. And we'll not only know them, but Lord, we'll do what you have asked us to do. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Brother Wade, the service is yours.
Preach the word, preach the cross, preach redemption to the lost.